You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's the Great Space Coaster. Get on board on the Great Space Coaster. We'll explore a common ride of fantasy to a place where dreams fly fast and free.
Well, hello there! This is Gary Gnu from the Great Space Coaster, and you and I are listening to the Flopcast! Yes, and let me tell you a little bit more about my career. Hey, wait, where are you going? Wait a minute, come back, I have more to tell you about myself. I'm really important. Really. Talk to me, please.
On the Great Space Coaster.
Live from Chickentown, this is the Flopcast, episode 229.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Hey, this is our DragonCon review show at last.
I am so excited to hear about all of your doings at DragonCon.
I think DragonCon was like 3 weeks ago by now. It's long overdue.
Yes.
A couple of things to take care of first, however, and the first of those would be your National Whatever Day.
September 28th, we're all going to have to ask ourselves if we have what it takes to be a good neighbor.
Oh.
Because September 28th is National Good Neighbor Day.
All right.
It's time to be a good neighbor. Every other day of the year, be loud. You've got neighbors that live underneath you. Tap dance. Make noise at all hours of the night. Slam doors. But not on September 28th.
Now, do you consider yourself to be a good neighbor?
Do I even have neighbors anymore? I think I scared them all away.
Oh, all right. So the answer is no, but it took care of itself.
What about you, Kevin? Are you a good neighbor?
Well, in terms of not disturbing anyone, I'm an excellent neighbor.
Oh, that's right, because you keep to yourself.
Yes, I'm quiet. I don't do anything. It's like I'm not even here.
Right.
In terms of, like, helping people... So it depends on how you define being a good neighbor.
Right.
I'm not part of the problem, but I'm not part of the solution. I'm neutral. It's like I don't exist, which in my world, that's a fantastic neighbor. If I don't know that you exist, you're my favorite neighbor.
I think Neutral Neighbor Day is a different day of the year, Kevin.
You know, I love Davy and Goliath.
Uh-huh.
Davy and Goliath stop-motion animated cartoons. They're freaky and bizarre, and I grew up on them. But there was a Davy and Goliath episode all about being a good neighbor, where they're giving out balloons to the children in the neighborhood, like balloons that say, "I'm a good neighbor."
Aww. On them.
And what happened in the not very subtle storyline is a little girl like fell over, like her doll carriage or something. This little girl fell and was hurt and couldn't get up. Meanwhile, all the other kids are just running by her in order to get their free "I'm a good neighbor" balloon.
Aww.
It's okay. She was made of clay. We don't have to be too worried about this. It was Davy and Goliath. It's a cartoon.
Okay.
This was a professional stunt claymation puppet. But just these horrible, self-centered kids just running by this little girl. Sorry, kid. They're going to run out of balloons. I've got to go.
Right. I need my good neighbor balloon.
It was great.
Stat. There are many examples in television of neighbors, good, bad, and ugly.
Sure. Have we done a show about wacky neighbors?
Yes.
I don't remember. Did we do a 4.5 list?
I think we did.
Of wacky neighbors a long time ago? We must have.
Yes.
Because I'm a fan of the sitcom trope of the wacky neighbor.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think from that list, there was, who was the neighbor on Home Improvement?
Like the guy that you don't see his face in the backyard?
Right. Can't remember his name now. An example of a bad neighbor?
Yeah.
On TV, I would say, from the TV show ALF, the Achmonics. Rachel Achmonic.
I remember that name.
Nosy, nosy neighbors trying to figure out what on earth was going on. Do you guys have aliens? Oh, silly. Who was the neighbor on Dennis the Menace?
Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Wilson,
sure.
Got discussed on our wacky neighbor. No, got discussed in our Wilson list.
Okay.
He got discussed in a list somewhere.
Yeah. Was Wilson also the guy on Home Improvement?
Yes.
Yeah. They're all named Wilson. You can assume every neighbor is probably a Wilson.
Right. But an example of a good neighbor on TV?
Those are hard to come by in the world of TV.
Right. Because wacky neighbors are so much more fun.
Yeah. They put them in the show to stir up trouble.
They're the ones that make things interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, I think we're barking up the wrong tree by celebrating Good Neighbor Day.
We should celebrate wacky and or obnoxious neighbors.
Yeah, we need to make that happen.
Okay.
All right, so for now, September 28th is Good Neighbor Day. Stay tuned. We will find a wacky neighbor day somewhere on this calendar.
Yes.
Where you been?
Had to take a little girl home.
Who?
She was hurt in the park.
That one?
Had to be a good neighbor.
Didn't even get a balloon, but I did. 'Cause I'm a good neighbor.
All right, the other item of business we have before getting into Dragon Con is something a little left over. Literally, this was left over from last week's show, in which at the end of the show, you shocked and horrified and surprised me with a What's in the Bag segment. You handed me a bag containing a juice box. This is a little box of Ghostbusters Hi-C Ecto Cooler, which is some sort of a weird little drink for the children themed around Ghostbusters. I have the box right here.
You remembered.
I remembered, and I made the huge mistake last week of promising that I would drink this. I've never had Hi-C Ecto Cooler, but I said I would sample this next week. So I've got it. And you may notice I've got this freaky-looking, like, tiki goblet here on the table in front of us. I've emptied the Hi-C Ecto Cooler juice box into this cup, because I'm not going to drink out of a juice box.
You're way too sophisticated for that.
I'm an adult. I've never had a juice box.
What?
Yeah.
Ever?
This were a little past my time, I think. By the time by the time these came along, yeah, I was a little out of the demo. Yeah, we used to have the old-fashioned lunchbox with the thermos inside it that would break.
I was going through childhood as the change went from thermos to juice box.
Yeah. So I've never had, this is my first juice box beverage ever right now. I'm not taking it straight out of the box, though. I've transferred it to this lovely tiki cup. I got some ice in it, which I'm hoping is going to water down the horrifying ecto. I'm guessing it's horrifying.
How does it smell?
We'll see. I'm getting some notes of Dan Aykroyd. Is that normal?
Yes.
A little bit of Sigourney Weaver in here, perhaps? It's definitely Ghostbusters themed.
Yes.
You're right.
Very All green. Right.
Let me try. It is green. This is a green beverage. But the ecto gunk in the movies are green.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Here's the concerning thing. There are oranges on the front of that juice box.
Yeah.
But your drink is green.
That's a good point. So I don't know what's going on.
That's warped.
So there's oranges, but it's green. All right. All right. So I'm going in. I'm going to try the Ghostbusters Ecto Cooler now. Here we go. All right. It's way less disgusting than I thought it would be.
Hooray!
Yeah, there's a quote you can put on the box, I see. Feel free to use that one. You're going to cut me in for a little bit of the advertising money on that.
And I didn't bring it to you to mortify you. I brought it to you to enjoy.
Well, I figured it would taste crazy. Like, I thought it would be super strong, sweet, and just horrifyingly sharp, nasty tasting, because it's Ghostbusters Ecto. But this just tastes like a generic fruit drink kind of junk that the kids have been drinking for decades.
You're welcome.
but a lovely gift nonetheless, which I am enjoying right now. You carried this juice box all the way back from Chicago.
For you.
To share with me on the show. And look at me, just trashing it here on the show. No, if it's any consolation, I like it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yes. That is a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to hand it to you, Kevin. You didn't think you would like it, and you drank it anyway.
And I will continue to drink it. It's drinkable.
You know what? That makes you a good neighbor.
I am being a good neighbor.
You're being a good beverage neighbor.
Yeah. There was a little girl collapsed on the sidewalk out there, and I ran right over her to get in here and enjoy this Hi-C Ecto Cooler because I'm a good neighbor, just like Davey.
I'm going to get you a balloon.
Thank you. All right. Hey, let's talk Dragon Con.
Okay, let's do that.
Because almost 3 weeks ago now, I was at Dragon Con.
Hopefully you put those memories in a Ziploc bag to keep them fresh.
I made some notes.
Good.
And I took some pictures.
I'm glad, because you bring back neat pictures from Dragon Con.
So here we go. I spent like a week in Atlanta. I was there for a long time this year. I went down there earlier than I've ever been there, down there. Because every year I think I should have gotten here a day before. I finally did it this year. I was down there like 2 days before the convention officially started.
You were ready.
So I had a lot of extra time down there, but I think I used it well. So like 2 days out before the convention, there was a dinner. Our friend Gary from the American Sci-Fi Classics track. Because, you know, I spend most of my time at Dragon Con with the maniacs on the American Sci-Fi Classics track.
And you love it.
Those are our people.
Yes.
You know? And Gary put together a dinner for a bunch of Classics Track folks. Whoever was crazy enough to be lurking around Wednesday night, we all met up at the Hard Rock Cafe in downtown Atlanta. I'd never been in a Hard Rock Cafe before, I realized.
Huh.
But it's, you know, it's a restaurant.
Yes, it is an establishment that serves food.
Yeah, and they've got, like, stuff on the walls, memorabilia from rock and roll. There's guitars and jackets and things, and it'll say, like, Madonna wore this jacket in the late 80s. So there's stuff to look at.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, but there are a bunch of us, I don't know, a dozen or so of us gathered at the Hard Rock Cafe and had a nice little pre-Dragon Con dinner.
I just had a thought. You think Madonna ever comes through every once in a while and goes, hey, can I wear that coat?
I changed my mind. Give me my jacket back.
Or can I just wear it one last time? Just bring back the memories.
Yeah.
I get the feeling she has more important things to do.
Oh, I'm sure it's a regular stop for Madonna. Anytime she's in Atlanta, she definitely dines at the Hard Rock Cafe. The other thing I got to do because I was there so early was Thursday morning, I went just a few subway stops away. The MARTA, they call it in Atlanta. Their subway system, it's called MARTA.
Like MARTA Kristen?
Like MARTA Kristen. Yeah, they named it after MARTA Kristen from Lost in Space, I assume.
Okay.
You get on the subway, the MARTA, at Dragon Con, like four stops away is the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Ooh.
They're so into puppets in Atlanta. They have the Center for Puppetry Arts. They do like puppet workshops and puppet shows and theater stuff there, of course. But they also have a big museum. They've expanded it in the last couple of years into a full-scale puppetry museum.
Ooh.
And I thought, gotta check this out. I've got some time. I'm going to go see some puppets. The whole museum, it's a big, beautiful museum. It's divided into two parts, Henson and everything else.
Right.
Because they have a massive, remarkable Henson collection there.
What did you see?
Everything. They've got everything there, Clark.
Whoa.
Well, for one thing, I saw some of the people I had dinner with the night before, because I thought I would just be there alone, but it turned out several of us had the exact same idea.
Not on display.
They'd been stuffed and mounted at the Center for Puppetry Arts. Yeah, it was like the end of a Twilight Zone episode. I realized I'd been dining with puppets the night before.
Did you have dinner with Statler and Waldorf?
It was terrifying. Yeah, I see a bunch of the gang from dinner the previous night. It's like, hey, we all had the same idea to go see these puppets. So it was cool. Suddenly I had a bunch of people that I was with, which was nice. But look at this cornflake. There's Rolf. There's Rolf the dog. That's an actual Rolf.
Beast in my heart. I love Rolf.
Most of the Muppets they had on display there are actual screen-used Muppets who performed on the Muppet Show around Sesame Street. This is Bert and Ernie. Look at that. That's
with a bottle cap collection.
Bert is showing off his bottle cap collection, but this is real Bert and Ernie from the show.
They look great.
These are actual Muppets that were on Sesame Street. You know, there's Kermit. There's Fozzie. Just around every corner, you know, it just hits you. Like, look at this. You're seeing your life, your childhood. There's Scooter. That's real Scooter who was actually on the Muppet Show.
The Muppaphones.
Yeah. There's
the amazing Marvin Suggs and his amazing Muppaphones.
There he is, bonking on those little head things. Yeah.
And Robin.
Robin
your imagination just soars when you look at these.
It's crazy. Now, you know I love to find chickens when I'm at Dragon Con.
Oh, boy.
Well, Dragon Con hadn't even started yet. I wasn't even there. But look at that. Here's me with a chicken.
Camilla!
I guess it's Camilla, but it's actually labeled chicken number 5, I think. Because there were a lot of chickens on the Muppet
Show.
That's
true. They weren't all Camilla.
Yeah, but that is indeed a chicken from the Muppet Show right there, right next to Dr. Teeth. This is Miss Piggy from Muppet Treasure Island.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of Treasure Island, there's a lobster for you.
Oh, thank you.
That's Polly Lobster from Muppet Treasure Island.
He's looking good.
Beautiful puppet.
You brought me back a picture of a lobster.
Now, here's where I almost lost it. Here's where I started feeling a little choked up walking through this place, Cornflake. I'll admit. I turned the corner. Come on. We're looking at Emmett Otter and Ma Otter.
Wow.
These are the actual otters, Cornflake, from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Wow.
They had their rowboat there, too. You know?
I think my brain is going to explode.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't take it. They have all the Fraggles there.
All of them.
They have all the major Fraggle characters they have in one giant Fraggle display. It's nuts. They've got Dark Crystal stuff. They have Labyrinth stuff. Just a remarkable collection of Henson stuff, and it's not even all of it. Apparently they have tons of Henson stuff that's in storage.
So they just rotate it through the display.
They switch it out, so if you go back later, you'll see some different stuff. Just incredible. Over on the non-Henson half of the museum, like this is Up-Up, who I remember from Romper Room.
Romper Room!
Remember?
Up-Up!
That's Up-Up from Romper Room. That's the actual puppet.
I remember Up-Up!
Sure. They had a section about stop motion. They didn't have Davy and Goliath, but they did have some characters from Corpse Bride, and not Davy and Goliath, but another Art Clokey production was Gumby. And there's a Gumby and a Pokey.
Aww.
Are there.
His pony pal Pokey, too.
They had a Coraline exhibit from the Coraline movie from a few years ago. Plus, like, old historic stuff from hundreds of years ago. Just incredible puppetry stuff there. Really, really beautiful. I cannot recommend this highly enough.
You had me at Up-Up.
My friends, yeah. If you're in Atlanta, go to the Center for Puppetry Arts.
See Up-Up.
You've forgotten all about all that Henson stuff, right? I just want to look at this one goofy little puppet from Romper Room.
Some of my earliest memories are of Up-Up.
Well, sure. All right, back at Dragon Con. I tore myself away from the puppets, and it's the day before Dragon Con, but as you remember, I was conducting a guided tour for the new people. I'm part of the group of volunteers that take people on tours around Dragon Con to teach you how to get around and show you where everything is.
How'd it go?
It went weird.
Uh-oh.
It was good. No, it's good weird, but weird nonetheless. Same as last year, it was me and Christine, my sister Christine. She was my second tour guide. The tour guides go out in groups of two so that you don't lose anybody.
It's like a solid policy.
Yeah, you got to make sure someone's in the back making sure that we have everybody all together. We don't lose our group. No one's allowed to leave.
Wow.
No, I suppose if anyone makes a break for it.
You get on this tour. Yeah. You are committed to the entire tour.
We fire a taser at them if we get any runners, if anyone makes a break for it.
We will turn this line right around.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting ready to go on our tour. We have like 20 people to go out with us. And I had heard that DragonCon TV wanted to cover the guided tours of DragonCon. DragonCon has TV, by the way. There's DragonCon TV, which is shown inside the hotels. So they cover some of the programming, plus they have like weird little shorts and things that they make just for people at DragonCon.
They need a channel like on real TV.
They actually were on real TV this year because the DragonCon parade was covered on regular TV
in
Atlanta this year. Oh, yeah. So DragonCon TV wanted to cover the guided tours. And one of the organizers came up to me before our group was going to go out, and she said, is it okay if DragonCon TV comes along on your tour? And what are you going to, you know, sure.
No.
Yeah. So off we go, and there's a reporter from DragonCon TV and a cameraman, and they followed us all around DragonCon. They did a little interview with us at the end of the tour, so that here we are being...
Oh, look at you and Christine.
We're being interviewed on DragonCon TV. They edited it down to like a really quick little two-minute piece, so you didn't have to sit through my whole tour, which would have been very long, weird television. They just made it like a quick little like interest piece, like, look at this, they do tours. Then it was just like a really quick thing.
Snippets.
Yeah, and then a quick little goofy interview at the end, during which I had to explain what Filk is. Because Holly, the reporter, she didn't know what Filk was. And somebody asked me during my tour what Filk was.
Oh.
So I had to explain Filk during the tour and then again on DragonCon TV.
Good thing they had you there to ask.
Oh, I know Filk all too well, as you know. And I was hearing from people throughout the rest of the weekend. A couple of people, I think, who didn't know me and a couple of people who did. And I really freaked out the people who did know me. So it was fun. You know, why not?
Wait, are you trying to tell me you did something weird, Kevin?
Yeah, imagine that. A Dragon Con. Yeah.
Mind completely blown.
The last place you want to do something weird is Dragon Con. Now, a big theme for costumes this year, as I suspected, was the Marriott carpet.
Yeah.
Because the Marriott, the kind of center hotel right in the middle of Dragon Con, had this crazy carpet pattern in their lobby areas. And it just kind of became a thing at Dragon Con. People love the crazy Marriott carpet. Well, last year, they started tearing up the carpets and replacing them with a new boring carpet.
And they broke everybody's heart.
Yeah, so the old carpet is gone. However, there were a lot of costumes based on the old carpet. This is a friend of mine. That's Eternal Zan, and she's wearing a costume that she made completely based on the Marriott carpet. Look at that. And there were several people around the convention you'd see.
And she has a scepter.
She's got a tiara and a scepter. She's like the queen of the Marriott carpet.
Wow.
And she's great. She's funny. But Thursday evening, one weird thing that happened last year, when they got rid of the carpet, Dragon Con people raided the dumpsters and fished out the old carpet.
Of course they did.
And were carving it up and making things out of it and selling pieces of it and treasuring the scraps of the old Marriott carpet. And a bunch of crazy people decided, you know what we should do Thursday before the convention starts? Let's all bring our hunks of the old carpet and try to put it back together right over the new one. So that's what they did. They had a scheduled time where people showed up with their little hunks of the old carpet, and they were just like puzzle pieces, laying them out on the floor.
We demand the return of the carpet.
And trying to reassemble it. Yeah, Christine and I went and just watched it for a few minutes because it was very, very funny.
How did the hotel react to that?
That's what I kept thinking about, because they must think we're so crazy already. And right. I was imagining a conversation among hotel management, like, all right, guess what they're doing now? You know that carpet we threw out last year? Well, these Dragon Con people have been fishing through our garbage, and now they're putting the old carpet back. But I was seeing carpet costumes all weekend. It was very, very silly. Later that night, Thursday night, was the ESO Network meet and greet.
I was excited for this. I wasn't even there, and I was excited about this.
We had an official ESO Network meet and greet at the Hyatt Bar. And here's the group picture that we took.
I want to see.
There's a bunch of us from the ESO Network.
I know those two Mikes.
You see Mike and Mike from ESO. Adam and JP are in there.
Adam and JP.
Adam and JP. The cigar nerds are over here. A whole bunch of people were there. Yeah, so that was fun. It was cool to just have some time to actually talk with some of these people, because usually we either don't see them at all or we're recording a podcast together.
Right.
So it was cool to see those guys and have a nice little hangout Thursday night, because Thursday night is getting crazy. Again, this is the night before the convention starts, but it's packed.
Yeah.
And the lobby of the Marriott Thursday night is...
You would think the convention was in full swing.
And people are in costume. There's costume groups. There's parties. I ran into our friends from Wicked Geeky Thursday night. Here I am with the girls from Wicked Geeky, and they had just come from the superhero underwear party. Those are like superhero underwear costumes.
Okay. So what's the concept there? Underwear that superheroes would wear?
Yeah, I guess. Like underoos back in the day. But that's a big party they have Thursday night, apparently.
Do you think the Flash even bothers with underwear?
Depends on what kind of flashing you're planning on doing, I guess. Right.
His name is the Flash.
Yeah. So anyway, it was fun hanging out with the girls from Wicked Geeky, of course. We're there, Brittany and Martha and Jessica. Everyone's just flying to our Facebook page right now to see the photo album. These photos are up on our Facebook page, I should say. No one's listening to the show anymore.
Peas and cookies.
Yeah. All right. I was up early Friday morning, however. I was on a panel first thing in the morning that was Classic Sci-Fi Legends. And that was a panel about everybody who had died over the past year since last year's Dragon Con. And again, what a year this has been for losing a lot of major talents. And of course, we hit all the big ones, you know, David Bowie and Gene Wilder right before Dragon Con.
Yeah.
You know, Alan Rickman and Prince and Noelle Neal from the old Superman show and all these people.
How long did it end up going on?
I brought a list. We do that every year on the Flopcast, of course, so I'm used to making these big lists of people who died over the course of the year, so I brought a big list. It was a good talk, though. A lot of people in the room. Joe Crow, you know, Joe and Gary run the classics track, and the moment where Joe completely lost it was when I announced that Dan Haggerty had died, who played Grizzly Adams.
Oh.
And that was Joe just stormed out of the room at that point.
Everybody has their limits.
It was very funny. He made quite a show of storming out of the room. And who could blame him? Because, you know, Grizzly Adams. So at the end of the panel, somebody suggested that I just set my death list on fire. Which was not a bad idea, but, you know, we're in a hotel.
Right, hotel
so
regulations.
I did rip it up into little pieces at the end of the panel, which was fun. And then a woman actually came up to the table at the end of the panel, and she said, you know, this is the first convention panel I've ever been to. And she asked, could I have a piece of the death list?
Aww.
But I said, no, this has to all be mailed off to the Library of Congress right now, so I'm afraid not. Go return to your seat quietly, ma'am, please.
There's something both touching and morbid about that.
It was nice, and I let her pick out the piece that she wanted. You know, she wanted to find a name that she liked on the list. But
wow.
Yeah, two or three people actually took ripped up pieces of the death list.
Wow.
Yes, that's how we started the convention.
Well, if they were taking pieces of the old carpet.
That's right. We do like to take pieces of things that have been ripped up at DragonCon. All right, I also went to, speaking of puppets again, there's so much cool stuff happening on the puppetry track down at DragonCon. It's really become an incredible track, and I regret that I was only able to attend but one puppetry event this year, but I went to a panel called Aliens, Cats, Gophers, and Fraggles, Puppeteering Iconic Characters. This was a whole bunch of puppeteers who had just worked on these amazing projects over the years. You know, they'd worked on Short Circuit. Karen Prell was there, who was Red Fraggle on Fraggle Rock.
Ooh.
And, you know, she worked on all kinds of Muppet projects and Labyrinth and all that stuff. And Pat Brimer was there. Pat Brimer is the puppeteer who built and controlled the gopher in Caddyshack.
Oh.
And he brought the gopher with him.
Oh, wow. How is the gopher these days?
The gopher is great. Now, this is not the original gopher, but a few years back, he built another gopher just like it that they needed to make a commercial or something. So he had a gopher with him, just like the one from the movie, and he made it dance. The gopher was dancing.
Wow.
If only Kenny Loggins had just burst into the room right at that moment.
That would have been fantastic.
Singing I'm All Right.
I am sure it was in everybody's head.
I was thrilled to see the gopher from Caddyshack.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah. Hey, you know my friend Kat? One of my favorite things about DragonCon is that I get to hang out with my old friend Kat. Well, I think she goes by Kate. I still call her Kat from back in the day. So I'm Turksting with Kat, trying to meet up. And I get a Turkst from Kat. And this is one of the best Turksts I've ever received. That's a turkey-themed text message, as you know.
Yes.
And every message that I get is a Turkst because my phone just
gobbles.
It gobbles like a turkey when I get a message. But so I got a Turkst from Kat. It says, "Do you want a banana?"
Really?
Yeah. "Do you want a banana? I can't eat three. And no one wants one."
Help.
No one's ever going to send me a message like this ever again. So
it's
I Turksted it back immediately. Yes.
You know I want a banana.
Yeah. So I met up with Kat. She handed me a banana.
Yeah, that is pretty much the last text you would expect to receive from anybody.
I was not expecting it, but, you know, I really appreciated it because...
you got unexpected banana texts at DragonCon.
Turned out that was just what I need. So thank you, Kat. Let me see. I went to a panel with Violet Bean, who plays Jesse Quick on Flash. That was cool. We saw our friend the Phantom Troublemaker doing his Toy Stories panel.
That just seems... like one of the neatest possible concepts you could have for a panel.
It's so cool. It's Phantom and a bunch of other wacky people on the panel telling stories about toys. I was on a Watchmen panel right after that. This is a 30th anniversary of the Watchmen comic book series from Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. And we just talked all about Watchmen for an hour. We actually had a young lady showed up in a Silk Spectre costume from Watchmen. And that was cool. She was very cute. We took a picture of her with the panel. She was great. And, you know, we always warn people our whole schedule is subject to change.
Right.
And three of my panels changed, like, the day before. Things were in flux right up to the end. Remember how we were joking about trying to do two panels at the same time?
It happened.
It almost happened. I ended up scheduled for two panels at the same time. The Raiders of the Lost Ark panel ended up happening at the same time as another panel I was on at the same time. Now, even though I told you that story about Sergio Aragonés from Mad Magazine...
being on two panels at once.
He did it. Sergio jumped back and forth and was on two. Now, I was not going to do that because I'm not Sergio. I had to step down from the Raiders panel, so I was not part of the Raiders of the Lost Ark panel, I'm afraid, but I hear it went really well. I was on the Hero TV crossovers panel at that same time, over on the non-classics track, the sci-fi fantasy media track, and that was fun, just talking about crossovers on all the superhero movies and TV, and I did it at one point, I found myself referring to my favorite TV crossover of all time. And that's when the Dukes of Hazzard crossed over with Alice.
Right.
Yeah. I somehow found a way to crowbar that into the conversation. I couldn't help myself.
You have a knack for doing that sort of thing exactly.
Yeah, it had to be done. Okay, let's go. Saturday morning was roller panel, so we got through the first of our two roller panels of the weekend. This roller panel was covering the old stuff, and roller panels, when we have the giant 20-sided die, we roll the die, and then whatever comes up, we discuss.
Right.
And this roller panel was all about stuff from the 1970s or earlier, so we were talking about, like, Space Ghost came up. The Bionic Woman came up, which was cool because I love the Bionic Woman.
Oh, of course.
So we had a fun time on Roller Panel, as always. Right after that was our friend Tegan with her second annual, I'm assuming, mullets panel.
Ah, the mullets.
Fantastic mullets of classic sci-fi, in which everyone just giggles about mullets for an hour.
Because you gotta. Every once in a while, you just gotta giggle about mullets.
She puts together a PowerPoint presentation of mullets. And she has, like, MacGyver and Captain Planet.
Those are some heavy-hitting
yeah.
mullets.
Oh, yeah. She's not fooling around. Very serious mullets. I did my Gotham panel after that. This is, again, not on the Classics track, but over on the American Sci-Fi Fantasy Media track. I was on a Gotham panel talking about Gotham, which is a current TV show about, like, Batman when he was a kid. And I got to this panel, and one of the volunteers from the room came up to me, looking very concerned and apologetic, and said, "None of the other panelists are here. This might just be you." And I just wanted to put her at ease, and I said, "It's fine.
I got this.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. I can talk about Batman for an hour. We can do this." Now, as it turns out, a couple more people did show up, so it was fine. There were three of us, and we had a lovely conversation about Gotham. But yeah, for a minute there, I thought I was flying solo, which would have been interesting. But I had a nice talk about Gotham. What we concluded was that Gotham is crazy.
Right.
Which is not a bad thing, but that's what it is. I enjoy the Gotham show. It's insane. After that, let me see. Of course, we were very excited, as we mentioned in our preview show, about Sam Jones and Melody Anderson from Flash Gordon.
Yes, yes.
And we went to Melody doing a panel with Joe. And also Scott and Debbie on the Classics track. This was Melody Anderson and the Legend of Manimal, because Melody was also one of the stars of Manimal in 1983. And Joe, director of the Classics track, is obsessed with Manimal. And so am I. So this was certainly a dream come true for Joe to have Melody right there in our Classics track room, and they did a panel together. There's Joe and Melody Anderson up on the panel.
Oh, look
yeah.
at that.
And
that is some serious Manimal glow.
Melody signed the giant Manimal banner that hangs on the front of the table.
That's cool.
She autographed the giant Manimal poster. And she was terrific. I'd never seen her at a show before. Like, I met Sam Jones a few years ago. He came to Rhode Island Comic Con. And, well, he recorded for the Flopcast.
Right.
You hear Sam Jones doing a little ID at the top of the Flopcast occasionally. Super fun guy, very cool. I'd never seen Melody before, but she was terrific. She was just delightful. And we went to see her and Sam talk about Flash Gordon together. Also, I got a chance to talk with both of them a little bit, which was really fun. I got to ask Sam Jones about Highwayman, because I never got a chance before to ask about Highwayman, which was a weird show he did in the late 80s with Jacko, that crazy Australian dude from the Energizer battery commercials.
I briefly, in my mind, got him mixed up with the Jackalope.
This was an insane Australian guy named Jacko.
Now I remember Jacko.
He worked with Sam Jones, and I said, "Sam, please tell me about Jacko." And he did. But they were both super cool, so it was great having both of them at the convention. After Melody's Manimal panel, or Panimal, if you will.
I'm a Panimal.
After that was Felicity, the mayor of Chickentown, making her Dragon Con panelist debut. It was Earth Station 1 presenting the 30th anniversary of Little Shop of Horrors.
That must have been fun.
That was super fun. This was Gary from the Classics track, and Mike and Darren from ESO and from the Dragon Con Report, and Felicity were all up there on the stage together talking about Little Shop of Horrors. We had a big crowd. People loved that movie.
Yeah.
We had Little Shop of Horrors costumers showed up. Like, with the Audrey 2 puppets.
Oh, wow, that is dedication.
We had people dressed up like Rick Moranis and, like, Alan Green from the movie, and several big, scary-looking, crazy man-eating plants were in the room also. And it ended with a big sing-along. Everybody sang Skid Row from Little Shop of Horrors at the end. And that has already been released as a podcast episode. You can hear this panel with Felicity. Listen to Earth Station 1, episode 334. and check out that panel. I met up with Kat after that, and we went to the big Gonzaroo concert. And Gonzaroo is the big, crazy, like, comedy musical concert with most of the music, comedy, and comedian sort of guests. And this year, the concert was hosted by, from Mystery Science Theater, not by Frank Conniff and Trace Ballou, but in character by TV's Frank and Dr. Clayton Forrester.
Wow.
They suited up in their old costumes from MST3K. And it was like a talk show. They had a desk and a couch set up on one half of the stage, and then they would bring out the performers on the other half of the stage. But Molly Lewis was there. The Double Clicks were there. Joseph Scrimshaw came out. A couple of the people from the Mythbusters were there. Jonathan Coulton was there. And fresh off their very dangerous appearance at Funkfest were Paul and Storm.
Please tell me Storm was doing okay.
I had just heard about this earlier that day. I ran into Jay Kitty, who, of course, had been at Funkfest. And this was the first I'd heard of Storm fell down some stairs and was seriously injured at Funkfest,
yes,
as you told us about last week. I didn't know that this had happened until Jay Kitty told me at DragonCon. Jay Kitty went to both Funkfest and DragonCon.
As did Wildcard.
As did Wildcard, who I also ran into a couple of times. So we saw Wildcard as well. But Storm came out with a cane, and he did play his guitar, but limited. Like, he played a song on the guitar, and then they did a couple of songs without the guitar because he had to rest up a little bit because he had a broken thumb.
Right.
So, an impressive little set from Paul and Storm, considering what you crazy people in Chicago had put him through the previous weekend. So, thank you very much.
There's no keeping Paul and Storm down.
He's powering through his Funkfest injuries.
I thought about that. After I heard he fell down the stairs while I was at FunFest, I thought, my goodness.
We just ruined DragonCon.
He's supposed to be at DragonCon after this.
I did not see Tom Smith all weekend. I somehow totally missed Tom Smith, who I know was also at FunFest. I also never got to see Mikey Mason perform at DragonCon. I talked to Mikey a couple of times because his table was right outside the Classics track room. But I never got to any of his shows, I'm afraid. There's just so much going on, you know? You can't do it.
Can't do all the things.
You cannot do nearly as much as you want to do. The weird thing, before the Gonzaroo concert started, Kat and I are there, waiting for the show to start, and we take a picture of ourselves, you know, together in the audience. Because last time we did this, we were photobombed by Tom Servo, speaking to Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, right.
That didn't happen this time. However, what did happen is we took a picture, and then a second later, this woman was standing in the aisle right in front of us saying, "Could I take your picture?" And she's holding this big wacky camera. Like, not, "Can I take your camera and take a picture for you?" "Can I take your picture with her camera?"
Huh.
And we thought, that's weird. But, you know, at DragonCon, you kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
So we said, yes.
Of course.
You go ahead, strange woman with a giant weird camera. So she's taking this picture, and it's taken a long time. A Polaroid pops out of the front of the camera. She's got a Polaroid camera.
Wow.
She has the last Polaroid camera, apparently. She takes a Polaroid of us, hands us the Polaroid, and then drifts away as mysteriously as she came.
This, like magic.
This Polaroid fairy of DragonCon. Look at that. Here's a Polaroid of me and Kat.
Whoa.
The last Polaroid in existence. I've got it. But I thought, isn't that nice? And then I thought, maybe I should do nice things for people at DragonCon like that. But then the moment passed, and I thought, no, forget it. Now, right after the Gonzaroo concert, Kat and I met up with the mayor, because we were telling Felicity all year, you got to see Here Come the Mummies. And we convinced her such that she was willing to come out at midnight, because that's when the show started.
That is unlike the mayor.
The mummies do not come out until midnight. But we were there, so the three of us watched the full crazy concert from Here Come the Mummies. It's a giant funk band with horns, keyboards, giant drums. It's a big crazy band, and they're mummies.
Yes.
These are real mummies.
What a visual that must be.
They're incredible.
How are they not passing out?
That's an excellent question. Maybe because they're dead?
Oh,
they're mummies. Point. They've been mummified thousands of years ago, so they're fine. So, yeah, very late night with the mummies, and one final note from late Saturday night, though, and that is that for the first time at DragonCon, I somehow totally miss her every year, but very, very late that night, I ran into Remy D.
You finally get to run into Remy D.
It had been years. I hadn't seen Remy in person since MarsCon with the Consortium of Genius, like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
So another friend of the comedy music world, even though she's not part of the consortium of genius anymore, but she was the lab girl in the COG.
Yes.
Back in the day. Because I know Remy goes to Dragon Con every year. She's part of the burlesque show.
Yes.
There, and she also does a lot of great costumes over the course of the whole convention. And I didn't realize I'd seen her the day before. I didn't know it was her. She wore this amazing Pee Wee Herman costume, and she was riding around dressed as Pee Wee Herman on a little tricycle.
Oh, neat.
And I saw, just like in the background, I saw this Pee Wee Herman go zipping by, and I didn't know it was Remy. She was dressed as Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road when I found her very late Saturday night. You just never know who you're going to run into. The official count on Dragon Con this year was 77,000 people. And a lot of people suspect that that number is low. But officially, 77,000. All right, Sunday morning was our second Rolla panel. This was covering the stuff from the 80s and 90s. Oh, like The Greatest American Hero came up, which made me very happy. Short Circuit, one of our favorite robots, Johnny Five. Felicity and I went to the iZombie cast panel after that, because we like zombies.
Right.
And Rose MacGyver was there. As we discussed, she's Liv Moore.
Liv Moore, yep.
The head zombie on iZombie. That's a very fun, very cool show, and she was great. She was very cute, very funny, and Felicity was quite taken with her New Zealand accent. She does a perfect American accent on the show, but she has this lovely New Zealand accent in person.
I would have loved to have heard that.
Yeah, so she was adorable, and a couple of other cast members, Allie and David Anders, were there too. We went to our friend Mike Gordon from the ESO Network. Mike had put together a panel called Tiki Pop Phenomenon, because Mike is all into that tiki stuff, you know, the whole tiki culture.
Like, and your tiki cup.
I'm drinking out of the perfect cup to discuss tiki stuff right now. This is sort of a weird tiki cup, which we have filled with Ecto Cooler. Let me take a sip right now. Wow, that's awful. But, yeah, Mike, we should mention, Mike has a comic book. He's not just a podcaster. Mike writes a comic book called Tiki Zombie. And Tiki Zombie number 3 just came out just in time for Dragon Con. So I picked up a copy while I have it right here. There's Tiki Zombie number 3.
Good-looking Tiki Zombie.
And there was actually a guy at Dragon Con doing a Tiki Zombie costume.
Nice.
He built this giant, amazing Tiki Zombie mask, and he was doing Tiki Zombie all weekend. And I know Mike was very happy about that. But Mike did a whole panel with some other Tiki-themed creators, and I was able to catch the end of that panel. Later that afternoon, we had the Wonder Woman 75th anniversary panel. This is me. This is our friend Jessa. And Michael Bailey from the Views from the Long Box podcast, a lady named Elizabeth on the panel as well. So it's the four of us, plus George Perez.
Oh.
And, of course, the legendary comic book creator, best known for New Teen Titans and Crisis on Infinite Earths and a bunch of other stuff besides that. He did Justice League, Avengers. He wrote and drew Wonder Woman for several years in the 80s and into the 90s. And George is a frequent guest at Dragon Con. He loves Dragon Con. I see him running around all over Dragon Con all weekend. He loves posing with all the costumers. And the room was packed, filled to capacity. They had to cap it. Every seat was filled.
Oh, wow.
And the classic track is in a bigger room this year. They moved to a big room, but big demand for this panel. And I'm guessing not many of these people were there to see me. We had a little conference, me and the other panelists who were not George Perez,
right,
before the panel started. And the general idea was, let George talk.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people filling this room, and they're all here to hear George Perez talk.
Right.
And rightly so. And I've seen George speak before, and George can talk, and he's a great speaker. George was ready to go and talk all about Wonder Woman and all his work on the Wonder Woman series and his feelings about the character, and he was terrific. And the rest of us were all kind of hanging back and let George talk.
Excellent call.
I think we made the right call, yes, because, again, nobody wants to hear us,
right,
including the four of us. We all wanted to hear George as well. So it was really special. It was very cool to have George in our Classics track room. Everybody loved hearing what he had to say about Wonder Woman, because happy 75th anniversary
to Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman from 1941. Imagine that. And, yeah, later this year, we have to do a Wonder Woman episode of the Flopcast, I think.
All right.
We'll have to make sure we get around to that.
I'm down.
I've got to thank Joe and Gary for, throwing us on a panel with George Perez. That was such a treat.
That is something special.
Yeah. And I think you're going to be able to hear this as well, because several of the panels I was on with Michael Bailey from the Views from the Long Box podcast, And I believe Michael's going to be releasing a lot of these panels as podcasts. We'll make sure we link to all these shows when they are released as podcasts. And speaking of comic books, I also mentioned there was a comic book-themed band that I wanted to check out, and that was Kirby Crackle.
How was that?
So cool. And Felicity wanted to see Kirby Crackle as well. So the two of us went to a Kirby Crackle show, and I was surprised to see that it was one guy. Kirby,
oh.
I don't know if sometimes they may perform as a band, but this incarnation of Kirby Crackle, at least, is one dude. This is like a Fump-style performance. It's a guy with a laptop, you know, and he has all backing tracks pre-recorded for all his songs. But he's very funny and a great performer, and just all his songs are about comic books or various geek-friendly subjects. Very impressive performance, so I recommend people check out Kirby Crackle. They have a bunch of albums out. I have a couple of their albums. Really, really super fun stuff. And I'm glad I finally got to see them because I never had before. And I've been a fan for a long time. After that, late Sunday night, we had the ESO podcast recording. And this was everybody from the ESO network who was still conscious and or available at this hour. We all gathered deep in the sub basement level of the Hyatt in a secret little room.
Oh, your special gathering place.
Secret gathering to record a ESO network show all about our experiences at Dragon Con. Darren was there with his evil concoction known as apple pie, which is this crazy, insane beverage that people make for Dragon Con. It's called apple pie, but it's not pie the way we know pie. It's a beverage.
It's something far better.
It's a beverage, and it's dangerous. It is to be sipped slowly, I assure you, but very, very delicious. And we had a very fun recording for the ESO network, and I'm sure that's going to be released sometime soon. It may be out already by the time everybody's hearing this, so we'll link to that as well, the ESO Dragon Con recording. Okay, Monday morning, 8:30 a.m., had our traditional way-too-early panel Monday morning, and that was the superhero-versary. That's where we covered all the superhero anniversaries besides Wonder Woman. So that was covering, like, Plastic Man, Aquaman, Green Arrow, whole bunch more. Again, that was with Michael from Views from the Long Box and a bunch of other cool people. I saw the Mystery Science Theater guys do a Q&A after that, which was also fun because we had, in addition to Frank and Trace, Bill Corbett was also there. So it was the three of them together talking about all things MST3K and Riff Tracks and Cinematic Titanic and all the other great stuff that they've done over the years. Love those guys. I finally got to something on the science track after that. Some friends of mine were doing a panel on the science track called Megafauna in Space, in which they were speculating on what sorts of giant living things could possibly be out there in space.
Any space chickens?
Yes, that's what we determined is, statistically speaking, there must be giant chickens in space.
How do you feel about that?
Excellent.
Okay, good.
Relieved. I don't want to live in a world where there aren't giant chickens in space.
I'm a little concerned about the giant chickens finding us, and at the same time, I appreciate the fact that there are giant chickens out there somewhere.
Sometimes I think this whole planet Earth of ours might just be a giant egg for a giant chicken in space. So that was fun anyway. That was my final panel of Dragon Con.
I love that this show is skeptic friendly and you're like, the giant space chickens.
It's the one thing I'm not skeptical about.
It's giant space chickens.
Speaking of the skeptics, though, and of course, you know, I'm part of the Boston Skeptics, one of the organizers for Boston Skeptics, and we love all the skeptic stuff around here. And this was the first year since the skeptic crack started at Dragon Con. This was the first year I did not set foot in the skeptic track room. I went to zero skeptic events at Dragon Con this year.
That must have felt weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird, but I was so busy with all the fun, goofy, silly stuff. And the skeptic stuff is fun, too, don't get me wrong, but never even got in the room all weekend.
And you do get your fill locally.
That is true. Like, I know the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, they were there. I never even saw them. I saw Bob. I saw one of the guys from SGU. The rest of the SGU cast, our paths never even crossed. But, you know, that's how it goes. We're busy. You run into some people and other people you never see at all. I ran into Mariana, Lady O, just a couple of times, very briefly.
Did you get to see any robots fight?
I did not go to the robot fights, no. Although I did later on also run into Mariana's husband, Jason, who we mentioned, because Jason has fighting robots at Dragon Con every year, because they do robot battles. But Jason was also part of one of the teams on BattleBots, the robot fighting TV show, this past summer. And we can reveal, because the series is over for the year, Jason's team, the Chaos Corps, and their robot Bombshell made it all the way to the final match.
That is rad.
They did great. I caught Jason in the middle of the Hyatt late one night and got to congratulate him on just how awesome his team did. Super impressive. So, yeah, nice to see them. I ran into almost everybody I know over the course of the whole weekend. However, included on the short list of people I never ran into, we've got to say Carl. Carl.
What?
Our buddy Carl.
No.
As in Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
No.
Because Cornflake, it's a tradition on the Flopcast every year we record with Carl, and then we play it on our Dragon Con review show.
All right, I'm waiting for you to say just kidding.
I'm not kidding.
No. I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, because it's just kind of happened every year that in this sea of 70,000 plus people, at some point I run into Carl. And this year it finally did not happen. The weird thing is, at one point I saw another guy doing the Carl costume, but I thought, no, that's not my Carl.
Right.
But Carl and his wife Rebecca, yeah, I'm sorry to say I did not see them. I'm not even sure if they were there. Well, I'll have to reach out to them and see if they were there. I didn't reach out to them in advance because I like how this has always happened organically.
Right.
We don't set it up. We just happen to find each other. But that didn't happen this year.
It's a sign of end times, Kevin.
This is the end. We're going to hatch into a giant space chicken any minute now. So
we're thinking of you, Carl and Rebecca, wherever you are.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we'll have to check in with those crazy kids. I know they're out there. We can reach out to them online and make this right.
I sure hope so.
It's going to be okay.
I'm not convinced.
Other people I did not see at Dragon Con include William Shatner. I know he was there. I didn't see him. I didn't see Judge Reinhold.
Note that I'm not nearly as worked up about these.
Yeah, because who cares?
Right.
I did not see Judge Reinhold either from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He was there. I never saw Erin Gray from Silver Spoons, but I've seen her many times.
Okay.
I didn't see Nerf Herder. I think I saw them at their table, but I was not able to go to a Nerf Herder concert, I'm afraid. Again, just no time.
Right.
I did see the guys from NSYNC.
That's awesome.
That's a huge relief. There were two of them there, because I know I told you that Joey Fatone was going to be there.
Uh-huh.
They added another guy. I don't remember his name, but there were two guys from NSYNC.
What did he look like?
Just a guy? I don't know.
Blonde hair?
I couldn't tell you, but there were two NSYNC guys. It was Joey Fatone and another one.
For you. I will look into it and I will find out.
For you NSYNC fans, there were indeed
and as we know, they are numerous among our listenership.
Yes, yeah, our listeners are mostly NSYNC fans.
They've just been waiting. Eventually, those Flopcast guys are going to stop talking about chickens and start talking about NSYNC like they're supposed to.
Well, speaking of chickens, we have to do our chicken costume roundup as we do at the end of every Dragon Con show. I did see a few chicken costumes, including there was one guy just in a full chicken suit, which was nice. And also, one thing I've never seen before, there was a woman in just an adorable, super cute, she was just dressed like a bottle of the Sriracha rooster sauce.
Oh!
Yeah, very, very cute.
That's a cute idea.
Very happy to see her. Plus, of course, I saw that actual chicken Muppet back at the Puppetry Museum.
And you saw Up Up, who's not a chicken.
You're still so excited about Up Up from Romper Room. And you haven't thought about Up Up in like 30 years, right? But now you're obsessed.
I think Up Up has been in the back of my mind all this time. And you just unleashed Up Up.
We have our Facebook photo album of Dragon Con is already posted. Go to our Flopcast page on Facebook and you can see all kinds of crazy costumes and people and panels and everything that the mayor and I did down at Dragon Con.
Thank you for bringing those back, Kevin.
My pleasure. And wow, I've been yammering on way too long, as usual. Please, Cornflake, I think it's time to get us out of here.
All right, I think I'm ready. Flopcast.net is our website. You can see show notes about this and all of our episodes there. We have a Twitter handle. It's @Flopcast. And we're on Facebook, too. Facebook.com/Flopcast, because why not?
All right, well, that takes care of our convention reports, finally. We're all caught up. But yeah, there are more shows coming up in the near future, I believe.
I'm going to continue to try to attend one a month through the end of the year.
You're on your way.
I can't even say what September's is going to be because the one I had in mind has already come and gone and I missed it.
Oh, okay.
Thankfully, there are other conventions in the sea.
All right.
So, as the saying goes.
All right. Meanwhile, don't forget to be a good neighbor.
Right. Bring your neighbor's Ecto Cooler.
I'm sipping some Ecto Cooler. That's a great idea. Bring a juice box of Ghostbusters Ecto Cooler to your neighbor.
Because there's no better way to be a good neighbor.
They'll be very happy and or confused, I'm sure.
or maybe even both if you're lucky. Peace and cookies. Last Dragon Con. Yeah, we came down night with Spock. We saw one take the first shot. I made out with anyone. Last Dragon Con. Got to meet Jean-Luc Picard and that chick from Alice.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast delivers the latest sci-fi news, plus movie and TV reviews with brilliant and insightful commentary. If you haven't listened to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast before, you will listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast now.
What, you think you're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that?
Watto, I'm telling everyone to listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will, including you.
No, they won't. I'm a Tridarian. Mind tricks don't work on me. Only money.
Okay, I don't have money, but please listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast, Sci-Fi, from a certain point of view.
What was that noise? Up, up! Up, up! Are you all right?
Granny! Did you find my bottle?
What?
Oh, never mind. I was just pretending. It's just that no one would play with me, and I'm all alone.
Oh.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.